Well, good morning once again. We hear the cries. That's the whole goal, to be with Christ in glory. That's why, another reason why we're here, and the reason why we study, and the reason why we seek the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from above. In our lessons up to this point, we have learned if we have any chance to win the battle against our soul, the battle against the devil, if we have any hope whatsoever to win that war for our soul, we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 10. And we must fight against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness. And in heavenly places, chapter 6, verse 2. Those things must be done. And yes, we must take up the whole armor of God, verse 13. So if we have any hope, those things must be accomplished. Because only then will we be able to stand against the devil. And listen, the devil doesn't want us to stand. If you take that literally, he wants us to sit and do nothing. He wants us to sit and please ourselves. He wants us to forget about worship, forget about Bible study, forget about fellowshipping with the saints. Just sit. You sit here. You sit at home. Some people sit at work. That's what the devil wants, though. Metaphorically, he wants us to just do that. In other words, not to take up armor. Don't put on the breastplate of righteousness. Don't shod your feet with the gospel of peace. He just wants us to sit. This lesson is the fifth lesson on the subject of the whole armor of God. And simply, I've just entitled the lesson, Above All, Take the Shield of Faith. Those are the first few words in this verse 16 of Ephesians. And I ask questions. What is it that can take away our peace? What is it that can take me into a place where I doubt God? What is it that makes me feel like I'm losing the battle for my soul every single day? And I wonder about my steadfastness or the surety of heaven. I wonder if when Jesus comes back, will He say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will He say, "Go off into everlasting punishment"? You know, what makes me feel as though sometimes I feel as though the hope is lost? What makes me feel like not getting out of bed in the morning, not working and striving, not trying to succeed in the faith? And we need to be honest, because all of us have experienced some of these things, and at some level, some of us in various degrees. And this all comes from one. It comes from the devil himself. He's trying to do everything to keep us not working. He wants us to have a wrecked spiritual life. And so, yes, sometimes we do experience such things. Sometimes maybe we don't really feel like getting out of bed today. The Apostle Paul described the devil, or Apostle Peter, rather, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter describes the devil as prowling around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. And he wants to devour you, your soul. And he uses circumstances of the world to accomplish that. He makes you a complainer. "Well, I'm tired. I work so hard. I can't do this. I can't do that. My son's sick. I'm sick. My wife's sick." Whatever. Always complaining. look in the mirror. Am I a complainer? He wants us to be lethargic. You know, other people will do it. They'll take care of the work. I can just sit back and relax. He uses that to convince you and to make you start having these emotions and these feelings that simply just drag you down. The reality is that we have to accept the fact that he's out there doing that. We've mentioned several times in this series, he's real, he's not a cartoon character. And not accepting the fact that the devil is like a roaring lion, that he's trying to destroy us through lies, deceptions, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he does that so that we are vulnerable to his devices, to his schemes, to his attacks. And so we remember, he's not a cartoon image. So above all, take up the shield of faith, Paul says. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, Paul describes the shield of faith as a very powerful tool to stand up against the devil, to stand up against the evil forces of darkness, to be able to recognize right from wrong, good from evil. And we don't want to overlook the sheer power of faith. Don't overlook the word all that we have here. All the fiery darts. You know, men go to war in the physical sense, and they take a tank which is able to defend certain things, you know, that men can shoot at a tank with a gun. It won't hurt the people in the tank. They're pretty well protected, but they do have bullets and armor-piercing things that can go into that tank and destroy the people in the tank. So the tank's not going to protect you from all forms of weaponry. Soldiers have gear that they wear, protective coating, so that if they do get shot, that bullet won't kill them. But it won't stop every bullet. It won't stop a grenade. It won't stop an IED. And if you just meditate on that, you realize there are all kinds of weapons, but there is no single one way of defense that covers all weapons. And yet, the Word of God, the shield of faith, covers all the darts of the devil. He extinguishes all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not just a few, not a bunch, you know, not many, not a lot, but all. So how powerful is this shield of faith? The shield of faith that God provides us with enables us to stand spiritually against the devil's tactics. If we look at 1 Peter with me, 1 Peter, we'll look at verses 1 through 3 of 1 Peter. Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Think about what that it means to us. You notice, look down at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God has the power to keep us. That means the shield of faith is his power for us to keep us safe until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, till salvation is revealed. He can keep us. So you see that, kept by the power of God. And this shield of faith is literally a power of God that we can hold and defend off all the fiery darts of the devil. The question, you know, is the devil attacking you right now? Whether we know it or not, I guess the answer is always going to be yes. But how? Is he attacking us through the guilt of sin in our life? In other words, we have a crack in our shield. You know, are we inconsistent or unwavering in our faith? Are we fighting through some physical suffering that we might question God? Are you dealing with an illness, or are you dealing with immorality in your life? You know, we need to know this, that no matter what these arrows are, no matter what's being cast our way, the shield of faith will extinguish them. Stand in the mighty power of God. And so I pray that you understand from previous lessons that nothing in this world, nothing, absolutely nothing in this world can block the devil's arrows except for the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is really good news. That is really good news, that you are not doomed to be destroyed by the devil. That you have something in your at your disposal more powerful than the devil. You don't have to suffer. God has given you access to the part of the armor that you can stand up and win every battle, every attack. And there may be a season, if you will, in our lives that we may experience difficult times. There's no question. Even times that make us wonder if there is any hope at all, any way out of the troubles that we have. And so, you know, as we begin the lesson, I want to make one point very clear. And the point is that I am declaring to you all nothing new, but with God all things are possible. That's what I declare. With God all things are possible. God who created the world through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. God who destroyed the Sodom because of its sin, all things are possible. God who freed Israel from the bondage of Egypt, all things are possible. And as for Jesus, all things were possible. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus walked upon water. Jesus fed the hungry. He died and rose from the grave, whose blood can wash away our sins, and by the power of His might and His word, we can win the battle. Thus, for God, it isn't too hard. It's not too hard for God. All things are possible with God. He was the one who could calm the storms of the sea. And He did so just by speaking a word. Peace, be still. Mark 4 and 39. And what happened? The wind ceased, and on the sea there was a great calm. And we know from studies that the wind and the sea being in turmoil represent troubles in our life. And Jesus says to you and to me, peace, be still. The Lord God is in charge. He is the one who is victorious, and He is the one who gives us victory. By the power and the might of our God, you can destroy the attacks of the devil. In every situation, with every attack, the shield of faith is a necessary component, a necessary part of the armor. Having our feet shod, that's important. Having ourselves girded with the gospel, with the truth and the gospel, that's important. They're all important, the breastplate of righteousness. But this piece of the armor absolutely requires that we take it up. And it must be carried every single day of our lives. Why? Because the devil never rests. He is out like a roaring lion, day and night, 24/7, 365 days a year, and every day of your life till the day you leave this world. He never rests. He's relentless and ruthless. So that's how we, you know, how do we survive these attacks of the devil? The life of the righteous rests according to the one true faith. That's how we do that. It's what the scriptures repeatedly teach, that the life of a believer, the life of the righteous according to the one true faith is power. It's by the gospel, by the word of God, that in Romans 10:17 tells us that we shall, 1:17, that the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. God's people shall live by faith, not by sight. And the question is, how is faith in the world, in the Word of God rather, how is faith in the Word of God powerful enough to lead us in triumph over the devil? John gives us a really good answer. John says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And when you think of this word, the world, remember what God's power through us who are born of God can overcome is everything in the world, not just some things. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. There's God can do all things. God, through our faith that He has given us by the Word of God, is able to do all things. He's able to give us victory that overcomes the world, and that is our faith. The faith we share only answers all the problems of life. It's the only power that we have. It's the only solution to spiritual attacks. And faith is the solution to righteousness and unbelief. The very foundation of our sin. Righteousness is our power. Unbelief causes us to fall. Faith is the solution. You know, in the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, we read these words, now the just shall live by faith. But he says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And listen, when you read that, this drawing back, it strongly implies that the writer here is talking about God and God's people. It's talking about us. It's talking about the saved and all those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. After all, you can't withdraw or draw back from something you were never at. For us to draw back means that we're no longer trusting our with all our heart. It means we have begun leaning on our own understanding rather than the Word of God, which is good for our soul. It means that we are no longer acknowledging Him as the Almighty, all-powerful. And the result of that is God no longer is directing our paths. We can read that in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. That very thing is what He teaches us. You know, it means that we've forgotten. It means we've forsaken the directions of God, the counsel of God. And that is often hard, that counsel. It's not always an easy thing. There are many things that are difficult in God's commandments and His counsel, many things that keep us from enjoying the pleasures of this world. But it's all for our good. Profitable to our survival. God's love and desire for us is always the right path, and it's always for our good. Unbelief, dropping the shield, you know, can strike down any one of us. And when we do that, we succumb to the devil's temptations. Some things of faith, they are hard. And if we do not believe God, that God is always working for our good, we might drop one or the other because it's hard. With God, all things are possible. We begin to believe that God, maybe He's keeping us from the good life. He doesn't want us to enjoy life. He doesn't want us to have all the pleasures that the rest of the people have. That's why the shield of faith is keeping us from the good life. That's what people think. But the shield of faith is necessary, a part of the whole armor. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we believe in God or not? The God who, with Him, all things are possible. The Almighty and the All-Powerful. The obvious conclusion, of course, to that is, yeah, we must. And what must we do? We must be shield builders. The thing about the shield of faith is that it has components, and you can't just pick up the whole thing. You got to build it in your heart. Shield building requires three basic things, and obviously there's more to that because the Bible is so exhaustive in its wisdom. But doing these three things, I think, will help build the faith and make you invincible against the devil. Building the shield with these things will make the devil's power worthless against you. And so let's look at the first of the three together. And the first one is simply look to the cross. Look to the cross. You know, understand that our faith must be grounded in something greater than ourselves, greater than anything in this world. The cross is that very thing. The cross represents the power of God. It represents the love of God, the peace of God. It represents God's willingness to sacrifice for you. Look to the cross. Listen, in the words of the Apostle Paul, he, Jesus, who did not spare his, or God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, Jesus was come to this world. He was delivered to the cross. He died a horrible death. His blood was shed. He was buried into the grave. And that was the gift of God. What more could we ask for? When we look to the cross, we realize that God gave everything on that cross. That should inspire us to realize just how much God is worth in our lives. We look to the cross. And we realized that God was always acting in our best interest. If He was willing to sacrifice His own Son to come down to the earth in the form of a man to die a horrible death on the cross, we have to understand that He did that in our best interest. If He loved you that much to give everything, what more could we ask for? The cross is where our faith begins. And then the resurrection is where our faith is set in stone. Of Jesus, Peter said, Him God raised up from the third day and showed Him openly. So God not only sacrificed, but He also proved His power by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That cross, that resurrection, foundation for our faith. Chosen witnesses saw the resurrection. The apostles sat and ate and drank with the Lord after his resurrection. It happened. He was real. And he is the Lord, the risen Savior. When looking to the cross implies that we deny ourselves. We deny ourselves, deny our self-image, our self-power. Deny that we have control over everything. And we take up our cross and we follow Jesus, Mark 8:34. Looking to the cross means that we don't boast within ourselves, that we only boast in Christ. We boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the world has been crucified. And in fact, we have crucified the world to ourselves, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Jesus died on the cross. And with this understanding of God's gift to us all, Jesus, there should be no doubt that God's doing everything for our good, that he paid the highest price for our soul. There could be nothing added. The second thing is look to the future. If you're a child of God, all your hope is in the future. You know, I ask, why are we here? We're here because we want to please God, because our hope is in eternal life in heaven with God. That's where it's at. That's our hope. It's a very powerful component to the shield of faith. If we didn't have hope of eternal life, if we didn't have hope of heaven one day, what's the fight for? Listen to how the... Turn to the book of Hebrews with me. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 11 and verses 13 through 16. The Hebrew writer says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better than this, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them." All those died in faith. They accepted that they were strangers. They desired a better home with God. They desired a better country, a heavenly land that God has prepared in the future for them. And that faith is what kept them strong. That faith is what they confessed. That faith is what they hoped for, a better country. Even in the face of all the terrible things that happened to that nation, there were those in the nations that wanted to wait and hope for that better place. They were the few, just like today. And so our shield of faith is strong when we realize that we have a better hope, a better country, we have a better place. When we understand that this life is like a vapor, it just starts and ends very quickly, but the promises of God stand forever. We're like Abraham. We're waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We look for a better land, a better hope, great security through Jesus Christ, through the cross. And our faith has to start by looking at the cross, and looking beyond the cross to the hope of heaven in the afterwhile. Finally, the third point, we look to the inspired scriptures. God's word is the giver of faith, which we understand. His word is the scripture. And no question that faith is the first factor in building the shield. We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Nothing builds faith more than reading about the signs and the wonders and the miracles that Jesus and his apostles performed in the sights of the multitudes. You know, of Jesus, John wrote, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. So there were witnesses. Not just the people that received the gift or the miracle or the blessing, but there were witnesses. And he goes on to say of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He's talking about his writing. So you can go to Matthew and Mark and Luke, and you can read other things about Jesus and the things that he did. But he says, but these are written that you may believe, have faith, trust that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. No question. When you look at the book of John, John records in chapter 2, water being turned into wine. In chapter 4, he records a nobleman's son being healed without even being touched. In chapter 5, he reads that he heals a lame man at the sheep gate. Chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 people. And how did he do that? With 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish? Jesus walked upon the sea. Jesus gave a blind man sight, chapter 9. In chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And in chapter 20, Jesus himself is risen from the grave. All these things are recorded as witness by John so that you may believe. Give God the glory. Praise Jesus Christ for all that he's done for you. Faith gives us, you know, the words of God, the power of God unto salvation. And these words never change. The power of God to save us never changes. Eternal life and the hope of eternal life will never change. He has given us the shield of faith so that we can extinguish all the flaming darts of the devil. The question for us is, are we humbled? Will we humble ourselves? Will we set aside our stubborn ways and look to the cross? Will we set aside our desire for self and look to God? Our stubborn ways. If we do that, we can let that word of God work in us and create in us a very powerful faith, a shield of faith. Look to the cross. Look to the future. Look to the scriptures. That all strengthens us as we learn and strengthen our shield. Doing this will enable us to enjoy life in Jesus. The good life, the right life. Protect us from unrighteousness. Protect us from unholy things. Protect us from sin. And protect us from immorality. As we live in the body, his church. It will enable us to reject the devil. That's all it takes. By trusting in the promises of God, we become light in the world. And we must let our light shine. Till the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and gathers up the church and delivers it to the Father in heaven. So the question is, will you be among that number? The invitation of Jesus Christ isn't to come and eat. It's not to watch a movie. Jesus Christ came down from the glories of heaven, the Son of God, walked among men, brought us the good news, died upon a cross, was buried in the grave for 3 days, rose from that grave, sits at the right hand of God the Father and says, come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest. The invitation is to be baptized, to have your sins washed away by obedience and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, to be added to the body, the church, and being built up in the most holy faith, that shield of faith. If you have a need this day, if you've not accepted the Lord in baptism, today is the right day to do that. If you have other needs, the church is here to help. And we do so by asking you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.